The first verse of Advaita Makaranda is a prayer verse. So even though some of you know it from the last camp, maybe teach it, this verse, and then it's something we'll chant for every class. It's a beautiful verse also for contemplation. But first of all, Advaita Makaranda. Makaranda means a honey, or the essence of the flower, that which is sweet, the sweet essence of the flower. So Advaita Makaranda means the honey of the Advaita, the honey which is really the Advaita. Advaita is the honey of the creation, right? Because it's what everyone seeks, is the truth of the creation, is the self which is Satchitananda, like bees to honey. Swamiji will say, just like bees to honey, right? Everyone seeks the self, and so the self is the Advaita. Self is the non-dual reality of the creation, so Advaita Makaranda. So, nice. So just repeat after me, and then we'll chant this a few times. I'll translate it again, and we'll just learn it. So repeat. Kataksha. Kirana.
Kirana.
Achanta.
Achanta.
Naman. So Kataksha Kirana Chanta Naman. Kataksha Kirana Chanta Naman. Mohabdhiye Namaha. Mohabdhiye Namaha. Kataksha Kirana Chanta Naman Mohabdhiye Namaha. Kataksha Kirana Chanta Naman Mohabdhiye Namaha. Ananta. Say, Ananta,
Ananda,
Ananda,
Krishnaya,
Anantananda, Krishnaya, Jagan Mangala Murtiye. So I'll translate it before we chant it, just so that you know what you're chanting. So, Kataksha means a sidelong glance. Aksha is the eye, right? So the eyes. Looking off to the side, kataksha, okay? Kirana is the ray. So the ray, a ray, consciousness, shooting out, a ray of the sidelong glance. Achanta, we often translate it as that which is dried up. But, you know, achanta actually means to sip. So you'll see why that's kind of significant. If you say here they're going to be sipping, the Bhagawan is going to be sipping the ocean of delusion. So it's like with a straw, you know. But so sometimes we just say it dries up, but achanta actually means to kind of just sip, to sip. So kataksha kidana achanta. Naman means those, it's a present participle, those who are have bowed down to namaskar. When I do pranams too, so those who are surrendered, for those who are surrendered, then moha means delusion, abdi, and so abdiye is in the genitive, it means the ocean of delusion. So namaha, salutations, and salutations, namaha governs the dative, so that's why that abdiye, so kataksha kirana chanta naman moha abdiye namaha. Salutation to the one by whom, it's a behoover he for Sanskrit people, salutations to the one by whom the ocean of delusion, mohabdiye, for those who have surrendered, have the namaskara, have surrendered, so those by whom the ocean of delusion is, for those who have surrendered, is sucked up, is sipped up, just by the glance out of the corner, the ray, the glance out of the corner of his eye. Okay, so beautiful. So then, again, these are datives all taking the namaha, because namaha governs the dative. So then, Ananta Ananda Krishnaya, so salutations to Krishna, Shri Krishna, the Lord Krishna, who is Ananta Ananda, limitless Ananda. Free from end, limitless. Anta means that which has an end. Ananta, that which has no end, limitless, whose very swarupa is Ananda, the Ananda swarupa. So Ananta Ananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtiye, whose form is, blesses the world. Jagan is the universe, the world. Mangala is that which is most auspicious. So his very murti, his very form is Jagan Mangala, a blessing for the world. So pretty, beautiful. So that's our prayer verse. Often in any Prakarana Granta, any text, you know, the first one and sometimes two and sometimes three verses will be prayer verses. So this is the prayer verse for this one. So let's chant it. You repeat after me.
Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdhiye Namaha. Naman Mohabdhiye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Together. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdhiye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Again. Kataksha Kirana Chanta Naman Mohabdhiye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya Jagan Mangala Murtiye.
Then the next verse, I'll just translate so you'll be all up to speed for these three verses. Repeat after me. Ahamasmi Sada Bhami. Kadachin naham apriyaha. Kadachin naham apriyaha. So it goes, aham asmi sada bhami kadachit. If I break the sandhi, kadachit na aham apriyaha. Now repeat, brahmaiva aham. Atasiddham Satchidananda Lakshanam. So, aham asmi sada, I always am. Right? So, I always am. Then, aham sada bhami, I always shine. I am always self-evident consciousness. So, I am always sat, I am always chit. Right? So, I am always being existence itself, and that existence is chit, is self-evident consciousness. So aham asmi sada bhami. So bhami and asmi take the sada always. So, aham asmi sada bhami. Then kadachit na. Kadachit means sometimes. Kadachit na means never. So kadachin na aham apriyaha. Never am I, aham, apriyaha, not beloved. Never at any time am I not the beloved. I always am. I am always self-evident consciousness, chit. Never at any time, na kadachit, am I not dear. Am I not the most dear, the beloved. Brahma eva aham attaha. Therefore attaha siddham. Therefore, it is established that I indeed am Brahman. I indeed, or I am Brahman alone. Brahma eva, indeed, or Brahma alone. Only Brahman. Brahman indeed, Brahman alone, only Brahman, aham. Ataha siddham. Therefore, it is established that I must be Brahman. I alone am Brahman. Okay? Brahmaivaham atas siddham satchidananda lakshanam. Brahman, which is defined as Satchit-Ananda. Satchit-Ananda is the definition of the Atma, is the definition of Brahman. But when we say Lakshanam, for something to be a definition which we call Lakshana, a Lakshana, it means the Lakshana cannot apply to anything else. It's very hard to give any object that type of definition where it's non-transferable to anything else. But that's the definition of Lakshana. So Satchit Ananda, there's only one thing that is Satchit Ananda, and that is Brahman. Okay, but that must be the Atma, because the Atma always shines, right? And the Atma always is, because it says, Aham Asmi Sada Bhami. If I always exist, right? If I always exist and I am always consciousness and I am never not, and I am never not the beloved, right? And it's a lakshana, that definition for Brahman is a lakshana, and it could only be a lakshana for one thing, then it is a lakshana for me, right? Because the lakshana is the same for both of us. So therefore, I am Brahman. Okay? So that's the second verse. So let's chant it. Repeat after me. Aham asmi sada bhami. Aham asmi sada bhami. Kadachinnaham apriyaha. Kadachinnaham apriyaha. Brahmaivaham atasiddham. Brahmaivaham atasiddham. Sachidananda lakshanam. Sachidananda lakshanam. Together. Ahamasmi sada bhami kadachinnaham apriyaha brahmaivaham atasiddham sachidananda lakshanam. Again. Ahamasmi sada bhami kadachinnaham apriyaha brahmaivaham atasiddham sachidananda lakshanam. Then, third verse. Mayevo deti, so that's mayevo deti, repeat, mayevo deti, chidvyomni,
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 jagad gandharva pattanam,
jagad gandharva
pattanam, atoham nakatam brahma, atoham nakatam brahma, sarvajnam sarvakaranam.
Sarvajnam sarvakaranam.
So I'm going to break this into mayi, in me, eva, udeti, chit, vyomni, jagat, gandharva, pattanam. Attaha, aham, nakatam, brahma, sarvajnam, sarvakaranam. These are all Mahavakyas in a sense. So, to translate, in me alone, mayi eva, mayi in me, eva, indeed, alone, udeti, rises up, chidvyomni. So, mayi is in the locative singular, chidvyomni is in the locative singular. So, in me, who am, in me, consciousness, which is like vyoman. Vyoman is space. So in English, you say, in me, in the space of consciousness, in the space of consciousness. But the consciousness is likened to space, into the consciousness which is like space, because space is a common drishtanta illustration that we use for consciousness. Okay, so in me, the space, the consciousness which is like space, arises, udeti, jagat gandharva pattanam, the gandharvas, the jagat, which is like the city of the gandharvas. The city is a city, the gandharva pattanam is like a celestial city in the sky. Like they use it kind of as an image for if you're looking at some cloud formations and you say, oh, look, that's just like a city. So this is look at that gandharva pattanam. It's a city in the sky, but the gandharvas are deities, a couple of levels more subtle than us, than this Bhuloka. And so that it's likened to a Gandharva Pattanam, but it's that which is subtle, city in the sky is the idea. So in me, who am like the consciousness, who am space-like consciousness, arises this universe, jagat, which is likened to a Gandharva Pattanam, a city in the sky, mitya. Atta, therefore, aham nakatam brahma. So therefore, how can I not be Brahman? Katam how? Na Brahman. How am I not Brahman? Right? Therefore, aham Katam Brahma, the negative there. Therefore, how can I not be Brahman? Who is Sarvajnam, all knowledge, Sarvajnam, omniscient, and the cause of everything. If this universe, like a celestial city, rises from me, how can I not be Sarvajnam, Sarvakaranam, which is, again, the lakshanam, definition of Brahman. There is nothing else that is Sarvajnam, that omniscient means everything is known, and that which is the cause, the upadana karanam, the material cause of everything that is. Only Brahman is that. But if this celestial city that we call the Jagat arises out of me, then how can I not be Brahman? So these take unfoldment. Okay, these are the three verses that we did. We didn't chant this yet, right? Be with me. Maye vode tichit vyomni, maye vode tichit vyomni, jagat gandharva pattanam, jagat gandharva pattanam, atohan nakatam brahma, atohan nakatam brahma, sarvajnam sarvakaranam, sarvajnam sarvakaranam. That atohan na, the makara, the anuswara, is pronounced as na because of the following na. So atohan, atohan na. Okay. Let's chant together. Mayevo de tichid vyomni, mayevo de tichid vyomni. Together. Jagad gandharva patanam, atohan nakatam brahma, sarvajnam sarvakaranam. Together. Mayevo de tichit vyomni, jagad gandharva patanam, atohan nakatam brahma, sarvajnam sarvakaranam. Naswatav pratyabhijnanat, naswatav pratyabhijnanat, niramshatvan nachanyataha, niramshatvan nachanyataha, nachashriya vinashanme, nachashriya vinashanme, vinashasyat anashriyat, vinashasyat anashriyat. Na swataha pratyabhijnanat niramshatvat na cha anyataha, na cha ashriya vinashat me, vinashaha syat anashriyat. We're repeating and really trying to learn this because this is what the Swamiji says, the sadhus always memorize these because each one is in the Kriya. And I love the raga to it. So pretty. Yeah. Okay, so here your basic sentence is in the second line, may vinashaha syat. And then the negative, each you're going to see there's like each line has a negative. So it's going to be na me vinashaha syat. Me vinashaha syat. Syat means definitely there is not. Na syat. It's a potential, but the potential verb is used as definite in the sense of definite, definitely. So there is no destruction may for me. May is genitive, but may vinashaha, my destruction is not. There is no destruction in English. We say there is no vinasha. There is no type of any. There is no destruction from me. Okay? That's your basic sentence. I can't be destroyed. There is no destruction for me. Na me vinashaha syat. Okay, so that's the basic core sentence. But then he is talking about three types of destruction. For instance, I could be destroyed, I could destroy myself. The Atma could destroy itself. Because me, I am the Atma. So the Atma could destroy itself. Or perhaps the self, the Atma, could be destroyed anyataha by another, by someone else. Or the third option is, it could be destroyed by the destruction of an ashraya. The ashraya means a locus. Like, for instance, we'll see in a minute, but say the locus, if I say the atma is dependent on the body as its ashraya, as its support, I mean, not locus, support is the right word. Say the atma depends for its being on the body. So it's dependent on the body, becomes the ashraya, the container, the support for the atma. So if you destroy the ashraya, the support, then you destroy the atma. So here, there is no destruction from me from the standpoint of myself, from the standpoint of another cannot destroy me, nor is any type of ashraya, the destruction of an ashraya, of some sort of a support, that also cannot destroy me. So that's basically the verse. But now he says why. So here in the first one, Naswataha pratyabhijnanat. How can you prove that? How can you prove that? That the self, that the Atma can't destroy itself? Okay. Because of pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna, as we've gone over this a little bit, it's an important word. Is something coming? Huh? Is it? Oh, okay, it's probably different. Pratyabhijna is a different type of memory, right? I have a memory of this, I have a memory of this, I have a memory of that. But pratyabhijna is a memory of myself. So, but it goes like this. If I say, I just had this experience. That experience is gone, right? I just had this experience, and then I tell you all about the experience. But the one, I am very clear that the one who is here now is the one who had that experience. Okay? And so you can even do it in reference to thought. I just had that thought. That thought's gone. It's come and gone. But I am the one who had the thought. So that is what we call pratyabhijna, the recognition that the one who is here now is the one who was present to that experience. Now the thing is, in terms of mitya, in terms of the universe, means anything that can be objectified, anything that can be objectified, that means the body, the mind, the sense organs, any type of vritti, any thought modification, any type of emotion, the ahankara, it makes no difference what it is, that because it can be objectified, because it exists in time, because it comes and goes, right, I will always have a pratyabhijna toward that experience, right? Because the experience is an objectifiable experience. The Atma, my being, is not an objectifiable. It's not subject to time and space. And so my experience in reference to whatever comes my way, whatever type of vrittis are there, whatever comes into my field, right, I am going to have a pratyabhijna for that. I had that experience. I had that thought. I felt in that way, right? All of those things have passed. Even when I was 13, I did such and such, you know. When I was a little girl, I remember this. Pratyabhijna. It's not that there was a little 13-year-old girl, you know, whoever she was. It's the pratyabhijna means that it is my being who was present to that experience, which is completely gone. The pratyabhijna goes toward the dream. It goes toward the deep sleep. I had the greatest sleep. I had this incredible dream. I had this thought, and then I had this thought, then I had this thought. Those are all pratyabhijnas. It's the recognition that my being is the self that was present to that experience. When that is the case, when you understand that any objectifiable experience, right, is going to, just simply by definition, it's objectifiable in reference to the subject, that because I have a pratyabhijna in reference to that, I can't destroy myself. First of all, I'm not objectifiable, right? I can't destroy myself. And nothing that's going on within the upadis can destroy me. Because of that pratyabhijna, I always survive any amount of change. But then you might say, And that's what my experience, in terms of my own self in this life, that's my experience. I'm always present, and I always have a relationship, myself being present, to whatever has come and gone. So there's no way for me to destroy myself. There's no thought that can destroy me. There's no experience that can destroy me. There's, because of pratyabhijna is there. But then you can say, yeah, but somebody else could come along and destroy me. I can't do that for myself, because I'm always left with that pratyabhijna, the experience just goes that I'm still there. So I can't destroy myself. But then he says, but for me also, that there's no destruction from another, anyataha. That taha gives a sense of the fifth case from another.